in different places of Scripture, the evangelists give us a small summary of the life of Jesus. They try to include the different elements of the ministry and the word of Jesus. And in the 4th chapter of Matthew, he tells us about the life of Jesus. And he says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Jesus everyone who was ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, the epileptic, the paralytic, and he healed them. And so large crowds came from Galilee, from the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and they came from the region across the Jordan, and they followed after him. If we look through the Gospels, we find that the ministry of Jesus can really be divided into two parts. The ministry of the Word, in which he went about teaching and preaching on the hillsides, the synagogues, from both sides, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And then the work of Jesus. Not only did he teach, but he acted in the midst of his people. And the summary of that action, the summary of that ministry, is found there in Matthew's Gospel. He went about and he healed all those that were sick, all those who were ill, all those who were suffering. And if you went through the four Gospels and you underlined or scored the different passages that speak of the healing ministry of Jesus, and then you flipped through the Gospels, you would be surprised to find that about half of the Gospel speaks about his healing ministry and his healing work. Too often in the past we've spoken about Jesus and his teaching, in some ways neglected the work that he did, the healing work. And if you read the Gospels closely, you find that the people follow Jesus not so much to hear his teaching or to hear his word, but rather because he was a healer, because in Jesus they saw hope. They saw hope to be released from their suffering and from their pain and from their grief and from their sorrow. And Jesus never disappointed those who came to him with that hope, with that faith, that he would alleviate their suffering and their hurt, that he would take away their sickness and their disease. If we ask ourselves why the healing ministry of Jesus was so important, I think that it tells us something about who Jesus is and why he came. In the past, in our theology, the church stressed the fact that the healing work of Jesus was a demonstration of his power. The fact that he was God, that he was divine, that he was all-powerful. And the work that he did were signs of that power. And they were proof of the fact that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And if you look at the healing work of the Lord from that point of view, you see it as basically proofs. And he needed to prove to the people and to prove to the generations and the centuries after him that he was indeed of God, and the word he spoke was authenticated by the work that he did. And so there are miracles, signs, and wonders that came from the hand of an almighty God. And certainly there's a basis for that in Scripture. In the Gospel of John, John speaks about the works of Jesus not so much as miracles and not so much as acts of power, but rather as signs. This was the first of the signs, John tells us, This was one of the signs. And in this sense, the miracles and the healings of Jesus don't point so much to the fact that he is the Son of God in the sense of being all-powerful, but rather they point to who he was in his identity as the incarnation of a God who is love. Jesus is the Son of God and God is love. And Jesus is the incarnation of that love and that compassion, that intense interest and care and fatherly concern that God has for his people. And so love itself walked among a suffering humanity. And in the midst of that suffering, love could do little else but reach out and alleviate the suffering. Love cannot be indifferent to the hurts and the sorrows and the bondages all around it. And so love reached out, and the presence of love in the midst of the world was a healing presence. Jesus healed, not so much to prove his divinity, as he healed out of a deep sense of compassion for the hurts and the pains and the grief of a suffering people. And so he is Emmanuel, God with us. And by John's definition, God is love. Emmanuel, love in the midst of his people. That is who Jesus is. The love of God made manifest, the love of God made visible in our midst, the love of God incarnate. And this is why he came, love incarnate, is to bring salvation. He came to be a savior. And I think we're very familiar with the identity of Jesus as a teacher who came to speak of eternal truths, who came to teach a divine ethic. And we know of Jesus as the model, the perfect model of everything that a human being should be, the perfect man who summarizes within himself the fulfillment of all the dreams and possibilities of humanity. But more than a teacher, which indeed he is, and more than a model, which indeed he is, Jesus is especially a savior. The very name Jesus speaks to us of his identity and speaks to us of his mission in its most essential sense. For the name Jesus means God saves. God is savior. God is redeemer. We understand that the world that God created, as it is spoken of in Genesis, was a good world. And the mankind that God created in that world was meant to be happy, at peace, at one with the world that God made. And that there was a sense of harmony, a unity, a perfection to the world as it came forth from the hand of God. And man was created to be the crowning achievement of everything that God made. And so God made man and put him in a place that was called paradise, Eden, the sign and the symbol of all that is perfect, all that is good, all that is joy, all that is happiness. And there was a peace. There was a peace within the world. There was a peace between man and his world. There was a peace and a harmony between man and God. So the scripture tells us that God came and he walked with man in the garden, a sign of the identity that man has as child and image of God. And there was an intimacy between them and a bond of unity and love and peace. But then we read of sin entering the world. We read of the rupture that caused the relationship between God and man to break, and the rupture that caused the brokenness in the world. And it was basically sin. And so God's world, as it was so good, became spoiled. And sin increased, and sin abounded. And the world became more and more alienated from its Creator. And the more man became alienated from his Creator God, the more men became alienated from each other, from the world in which he lived, and alienated even within his own heart. And so the situation of the world without God, and man alone in his isolation, becomes a situation of brokenness. Broken man, broken dreams, broken plans. And it becomes a situation of bondage. Men unfree, bound up in selfishness and in sin. Men in bondage to evil, and evil unchecked, destroying and degrading and dehumanizing what God had made so good, what God had made to be his image. But then we read in the Gospel of John that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that every soul believing in him would not perish but have life everlasting. And we read of a God so good and so loving that he could not leave his people in their brokenness and in their bondage. But he gave his only Son. He gave what was deepest within him, his own Son, to come into the world to redeem it, to mend the brokenness of his plan. And in some ways, I guess, to put the world back together, to restore it to the beauty that God had originally intended for it. And so Jesus comes, as John tells us, not to condemn the world. He came rather to redeem it. To redeem it from its sin, to bring forgiveness of sin, to redeem the world from its darkness, and to be the light of the world. To redeem the world from its alienation, and to redeem men from their own alienation, and to bring reconciliation. Jesus came to redeem us from our bondages and our unfreedoms, and he came to set men free. You know, I think it's important to remember that Jesus came not simply to save souls, as we repeated so often in the past, but he came to save the world, to redeem men, and to call them or bring them back to the wholeness of life that was wanted for God, by God, for his people. He came certainly to redeem their souls, but also their spirits, and to restore the wholeness to all of creation, including the bodies of men. And so Jesus is Savior, he is Redeemer. And he is rescuing the world from its bondage to darkness, and redeeming men from their own sin and from their alienation. And by the cross he came to restore us to friendship with the Father. And that indeed is the first healing work of Jesus that we must never lose sight of, that he came to restore us to the Father's love. And the first healing is a spiritual one. It's the forgiveness of sin and the restoration and reconciliation between God and man. If you look at the life of Jesus, he spends his time being very interested in the situation in which men found themselves. When he found men broken by disease and illness, he healed their bodies. If he found them in bondage to evil spirits, he cast out evil spirits. If he found people in bondage to sin and lost and alienated from God, he forgives their sin and redeems people like Mary Magdalene from their life of degradation. And he always touches them in their situation. And so you see, for example, the story of Jesus raising the dead boy to life. You say, why did he raise that boy, the widow's son? And you read about a widow who has only one child, and that child is now dead. And Jesus reached out, and he had deep compassion for her in her grief and in her sorrow. And so raising that boy to life was a healing of the sorrow and the broken heart of a lonely woman, more than it was an act of power to prove his divinity. Jesus was moved out of deep compassion for the hurts of men. Jesus came, and I think he knew more than anyone else the world which could be so good. And I think he was moved with some anger at the bondage and the brokenness that he found in that world. And so he moved among it as love would, and at every point restored people to wholeness and rescued and redeemed them out of their brokenness. What God wants for his people is what the Jewish people call Chaim, life. But life in its fullness, life with joy, life in abundance. And God is a God of love, and perhaps this is what the healing ministry is telling us about, that God is not distant, uninvolved, looking down upon the world from far away, but God is a God of love who is passionately involved in the world that he made, deeply interested in his people and in their situation, loving us and calling us to receive the fullness of life for which he created us. And so Jesus tells us that even more than a shepherd cares for his sheep, and even more than a father or mother cares about his or her child, even more than a bridegroom loves his bride, so God is very much in love with his people. God very much cares that his people are not free, that his people are in bondage to their sicknesses, that his people are in bondage to the illness and the diseases and the sicknesses that abound in this world, and that God does care. And Jesus is the sign. Jesus is the model. Jesus is the symbol of God's passionate caring and God's love. He came to set us free, to restore us to the Father's love first of all, and then to restore us to the fullness of life, to human wholeness, to being a person as God wanted us to be person. And so he spoke to the people, and he said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And the healing ministry is very much in line with that understanding of what salvation is all about, that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And so we reach out in the name of Jesus to heal everything that would block the fullness of life, or destroy the fullness of life, or destroy human wholeness. And healing goes forth because God loves, because God cares, because God is love, because we, his people, are very much loved by God. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full.